Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God, our Heavenly Father. Amen. The season we have now entered into is called Epiphany. Really, it begins on January 6th every year, the Epiphany, referring to the revelation of Jesus the Savior to the Magi from the East. Jesus' saving work begins to be revealed by God to the world. In that moment, to people who were from a far away distance, the salvation of Jesus Christ is going to go out into the world, like we heard in the book of Acts from our reading this morning as well. And this Sunday, we are looking at the baptism of Jesus. When Jesus, in his role and his work, begins to be revealed to the people of Judea, his public ministry begins with his baptism. Jesus' baptism demonstrates and reveals to us the purpose of baptism. He did it with a purpose as well, and we'll look at that. Jesus' baptism also demonstrates to us baptism's power. So, in the context of Matthew 3, we should remember what's going on with John. John has been preaching a baptism for repentance, for forgiveness of sins. Been telling people, turn away from your violations, from your sins against God, be baptized, and you will receive forgiveness from God. This is the context that John is in. This is when Jesus comes to be baptized as well. Maybe you see, understand what John's reaction to Jesus coming to him is. He says, John tried to stop him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and yet you come to me. It's clear that John, as a prophet, understood very clearly what exactly was going on here. He knew who Jesus was, the sinless Son of God. John confesses this need, not for Jesus to be baptized, as though Jesus was missing something, or he had his own sins to take care of. John understands clearly that this forgiveness of sins is not needed by Jesus. In fact, it's needed by John. John confesses and makes clear that Jesus is greater than he is, as he does all the time, and that Jesus is where the real power for baptism should come from. Jesus should be baptizing John, that he can have his sins forgiven. The purpose for Jesus' baptism, though, is not so that he could get his sins forgiven, because he has no sins of his own, but he tells John, I need it to be so right now. Jesus answered, let it be so now, because it is proper for us to fulfill all righteousness. So for Jesus, the baptism that John was performing was not something necessary for his forgiveness of sins, but it was proper for him. It was proper to fulfill all righteousness. Now we should understand that this is not some kind of ordinance or a law that Jesus had to follow. It's not the same fulfilling of righteousness exactly that he did, for example, when he was circumcised. This was an Old Testament thing that God had laid out. All the male babies had to be circumcised as part of Moses' law. The baptism of John is not really in Moses' law. It's not an ordinance to be fulfilled. And yet, Jesus says, we must fulfill all righteousness by you baptizing me. Understand that in Jesus' work, it's proper for him to do this as our substitute as well. And yes, even as our substitute in the world of the gospel, baptism, we understand, as Jesus teaches us in the scriptures, is God's work. It's something that comes to wash away sin. It's a good news that we have peace with God, baptism. And yes, even this aspect of our lives, Jesus comes and steps in and is our substitute as well. The purpose, and the reason we can know that clearly, is because all of Jesus' work, all of the things he does, is for a purpose. The purpose of being the Savior of the world. Jesus is revealed to the people at his baptism as this anointed Savior. We heard Peter say that at his baptism, he was anointed. He became the Christ. Now, of course, this is not to say that Jesus was missing something. Nothing about who Jesus was added to at his baptism. From his very conception, he was always true man and true God. He was always the Savior, the Christ. But this is a public acknowledgement by God that this is the one who he has set aside for a purpose. That's what an anointing is. That's what a Christ is. In the Old Testament, you have anointings of kings. They're the one person who's going to rule the nation. You have anointings of priests and prophets. They're set apart for a special purpose. And Jesus fulfills all those roles, prophet and priest and king, starting here at his anointing to be your Savior. So baptism's purpose is for salvation. Jesus was baptized as part of that purpose. And we want to keep that wonderful purpose that baptism is a saving thing for you really clear and high up in our minds. And how can we be so confident in salvation, in the purpose of your baptism, that this was for your salvation? Because it is powerful as well. Jesus also demonstrates where baptism's power comes from in his own baptism. So after Jesus was baptized, he immediately went up out of the water. Suddenly the heavens were opened for him. He saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and landing on him. And a voice out of the heavens said, "This is my Son, whom I love. I am well pleased with him." You see that Jesus' baptism is not just something that is strictly external. I mean, it happened outside of him, but it's not a rite that has no meaning or no power at all. It's not that nothing happened to Jesus at all. Now, again, I don't want to go too far and say Jesus needed this to become God's Son. That's not correct. But we do see this amazing miracle happen for the benefit of Jesus. So what happens for Jesus? The Spirit of God descended on him. And so in his baptism, he receives the Holy Spirit. This is a bit mysterious to us. Because if we are thinking clearly and carefully about who Jesus is, we understand that he has perfect communion with the Father and the Holy Spirit as the Son. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, of course, can never be separated, can't be divided. And so as true God, he already has the fullness of the Holy Spirit. And yet, he receives the Holy Spirit. This is really key for us to understand the nature of Jesus' unity of true man and true God. I think we can understand it a little more clearly when we think about other ways that Jesus, according to his humanity, grew and increased in various ways. So we learn in Luke that the boy Jesus grew and in his knowledge and his stature and in his standing with people. And I think that's helpful to understand that just as Jesus' body, although he is the unchanging Son of God, yet he grew in his body. In a similar way, you can say that as the eternal Son of God, he also received the Holy Spirit, because his baptism was not just something he did for show. It was something he did to demonstrate its power for you. So just like Jesus received the Holy Spirit, you in your baptism received the Holy Spirit. What does this give to him? Well, again, in an essential kind of way, he didn't need to receive anything, but the Father had equipped him and prepared him for the work he was going to do. Peter had said, after he was baptized, he went out. He went out healing people and driving out demons, doing all those good things. Strengthened by the Holy Spirit. In Luke, we learn that after his baptism, he goes out led by the Spirit into the wilderness to contend with Satan and to have confront the devil. The Holy Spirit gives him strength according to his human nature to do that. He hears from the Father, "This is my Son whom I love. I am well pleased with him." Jesus receives assurance directly from the Father that what he's doing is pleasing to God. Of course, Jesus is pleasing to God because he has no sin in him. He is already perfect and living his life and his mind all according to the Father's will. But think about the going back to the purpose of Jesus' work. He came to go to the cross. In Jesus' baptism, this we find is a beginning not of Jesus or not of a new thing going on, but a beginning of Jesus' work, which culminates in the cross. And throughout his life and his ministry for the next 3 years, what is he going to have to do? He's going to have endurance. He's going to have strength. He's going to have to put up with persecution and suffering. And he's going to live in the wild. He talks about this in other places as well. He doesn't have a place to live. He's living out in the world and out in the wilderness. And ultimately, he's going to have to suffer and be rejected by his people and die on a cross. All of this begins with God saying, "This is my Son, whom I am well pleased." So what about you and me? Jesus certainly receiving an assurance from the Father and a strength from the Holy Spirit at his baptism. What can we say then about our baptisms? Of course, the number one gift we receive from our baptism is that forgiveness of sins. It's important to maintain. It's a washing of water that we receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, the first and most important gift, forgiveness of our sins. That's not the only gift. That's not the only thing that we receive. That's kind of a negative, as in it's taking something away, something bad away. We don't want sin, obviously. We're also receiving the Holy Spirit just like Jesus did, for strengthening in our earthly lives. For us, we want to keep that baptism in which we receive the Holy Spirit really as a great and wonderful thing in our mind. It's something that God does outside of us. Because we are going to, in our lives, from the very beginning when we baptize a baby, we're setting that infant on a similar path to Jesus. Not exactly the same, obviously. Not everyone's sufferings and trials and crosses as a Christian, it's going to look identical. But every Christian is set on a path at their baptism, on the path of a cross, up until their own death. That might seem a bit like not a good thing. It might not seem like a positive thing all the time. I kind of think, sometimes I listen to the Christian radio station, and they say, it's called like positive hits. And that's great, of course, I love positive things. But sometimes the Christian life isn't always positive. And it's at those negative times, especially when we want to keep hold of the power of baptism, which gives us assurance that we are indeed just like Jesus was, because in our baptism we are brought into Christ, we also are God's children. So when God says, "This is my Son, whom I love, I am well pleased with him," he's saying that about Christ. He's saying it about all those in Christ. And you all have been baptized into Christ. And God is pleased with you. There's a temptation, I think, in always to maybe forget or to look down on baptism, maybe without even realizing it. I did illustrate this with a little story about a friend of mine who is now a pastor in Wisconsin. He was in my seminary class. And he had not grown up Lutheran. He'd gone through various church bodies. And he would always tell me when we would talk about, or he told me once, I should say, he thought it really struck him that Jesus came to be baptized in our place in a certain way of looking at things because we couldn't even do that right. We can't even get baptized right. And that was a little tongue-in-cheek because, of course, you understand that baptism does not depend on anything you do. But he was speaking from his experience as one who had struggled in his life and struggled with sin, of course, like we all do, and with doubt. And even because he didn't understand baptism fully as something that God has done, with being baptized several times, he had been, you know, he had fallen into sin or gone, you know, away from church for a while and gone back to church and figured he better be rebaptized because it's something he did. Now, Lutherans are probably not likely to go that far as to treat baptism as something you do, but that can still happen to you as well in a different way. When we are caught up in guilt over things we've done in the past, when you can't shake doubt over the way that God sees you and treats you as his child, when you wonder, is God really there for me? Is God really watching out over my life now? And that can happen because of struggle. It can happen because of your sin. Or when you say, I'm not good enough to be God's child. That is in a similar way to that friend of mine who maybe didn't view baptism very highly. That is the way that you might kind of look down on baptism without even realizing it, because you've forgotten baptism's power, which comes from the Word of God, which created the world, and which says to you when you are baptized, when you are washed in connection with the Word of God, the Father, in the name of God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, that you are God's beloved child, that God is pleased with you. We want to keep baptism as something great and mighty in our minds and remember what its purpose is, just as Jesus has demonstrated to us today that baptism's purpose is your salvation and its power is from God and it's God's word, equipping you for lives under the cross and preparing you for eternal glory to be with him. Amen. Please stand. We'll join in singing Created Me.